ordained the old sanctuary. Is that right, brother? And we're so fortunate to have him with us tonight. Him and Lisa and the girls are all growing up on us. Now, think about Camp Zion. If I ever, one of these days, maybe amount to anything, it will be because of what God has done for me at Camp Zion. Sitting under God's choicest preacher, Dr. Percy Ray, Dr. J. Harold Smith, Dr. Adrian Rogers, and I alluded this morning to Dr. Jerry Vines. What an inspiration he was in my life. Pastor Jacksonville First Baptist Church. While he was there 20 years, 18,000 plus baptisms. And when he was 16 years old in a little town in Georgia, he started pastoring. Stuck with the stuff, King James all the way. Never altered. Don't tell me you can't grow a big church with the Word of God, King James Version. Adrian Rogers did it. And Jerry Vines did it. Both the two of the largest Southern Baptist churches in America. Both of them was King James while they were alive. And Dr. Vines is still alive. So I appreciate the goodness of God. And Brother Robert, you can preach to us, my brother.
Well, good evening. It's good to be back at Fletcher First Baptist Church, and I appreciate the opportunity and to come back and to be at home, because this is my home church. This is where God rooted my family in under the things of the Word of God, under the pastoral and the leadership of Pastor Roy Waldrop and the fine folks here. And I am telling you, y'all have got a special place in my heart, and I just appreciate the goodness of the Lord. And let me say, get my preliminaries. I'm nervous as a cat walking between two lines of German shepherds. And I'm right honest with you. I have been a nervous wreck all day. And so hopefully I'll get settled in. You'll just have to bear with me. I'm stalling because I've got to get settled in. All right? Y'all sang. I mean, y'all are done. Amen? So, I want to say thank you to the church for standing with WGCR the way that you do. The meals that y'all prepared, I'm still paying the dividends for that gravy and bread. Amen. It was good, but I appreciate you standing with us, not only working with us, your labor of love. It went unnoticed, and we appreciate it. But then not only that, but to come down here and labor like you did, and then to give the financial gift with the radio station. Can I say thank you? And because my whole year hinges on one week. Y'all listen to what I'm saying. My whole year hinges on one week. What do you mean by that? Well, everything that I get comes through God's people. That's how I live. That's how we survive, is by God. And everything that you see, even the suit that I'm wearing right now, and I don't know who bought it, but somebody give it to me. During Charathon. And so, you know, God, He is faithful to supply. Y'all listen to me. 2013, God's still faithful to supply the needs. And I just want to say thank you to the church and thank you, Pastor Roy, for allowing me to come today and to be a part of this service. I'm humbled. And I heard that you just literally preached the house down this morning and turned the lights out and the sound. And everybody's like, oh, we're so excited to hear you. And after hearing what you've done, I'm like, man, I hope they sing for an hour. But I'm glad that Pastor Roy is still thundering that gospel. Y'all get behind this man, pray for him. I pray for him and pray that God will continue to touch him. And as he stands up behind this sacred desk, that he'll break the bread of life and have the boldness. We need some boldness in this day. That he'll continue to have the boldness to thunder that gospel. I mean, rub the balm of Gilead when it needs to be rubbed, but then stand against sin and take that firm stand. Not many like that no more. A lot of them are compromising their standards to get more people to come in. Don't do that, church. You stay true to this word right here, and it'll work. I promise you. And so I'm grateful for what God is doing here at Fletcher First Baptist Church. And I'll tell you, I've enjoyed the messages from James Lockie. I'm still meditating on that one that I came here and remembering where God brought you from. I'm still chewing on that one. And that was a good one. That one helped me a bunch. So we're going to hopefully, Lord willing, get those on the pulpit hour here real soon and let other people enjoy Brother James Lockey. Amen. I told my wife when I went home, I said, I pray if I can make it to 83 years old, I can thunder the gospel like that. Just halfway like that, I said, I think I'd be doing all right. And boy, he encouraged me, so I give God the glory. Well, I got to be good tonight. My mother-in-law's here. So I have to behave, amen? No, it's good to have my mother-in-law, my father-in-law here. I appreciate and love them. And let me say this, I've said it on the radio, probably behind her back, I'm going to say it to them in front of their face. I am blessed with some of the best in-laws. And I mean that. I'm blessed with some of the best in-laws that a son-in-law, I'm just going to say a son, could have. And I appreciate what God has done. And I appreciate Ruby and Bobby. And just through the years, I'm telling you, I couldn't get no finer in-laws than I've got right there. And I give God the glory for that. We've been blessed. Well, take your Bibles, if you've got them, and open up to the book of John tonight. The book of John, chapter number 6. The book of John, chapter number 6. I appreciate Pastor Roy introducing my message tonight. And I've been chewing on what to do. And Lisa asked me before we come over here, she said, you got the message? I says, not yet. But I says, God's got it. And she says, what do you mean? I said, well, the last couple times I've preached, God hasn't given it to me until about the middle of the service. And I come prepared. I asked Gunn for an outline. And he says he had a few. And I says, well, they'll probably preach. Let me have one. And this is the way I really believe the Lord wants to go. It's something that God's burdened on my heart since the first of the year. And I didn't know this is exactly what I was going to do until about 4 o'clock this afternoon. And God really settled me in on something. And I'm going to take and just give you my heart tonight, if that'll be all right. John chapter number 6, verse number 1, for those that can and will, if y'all wouldn't mind standing to the reverence of the reading of the Word of God. John chapter number 6, verse number 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworths of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew Simon, Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above unto them that had eaten. Let us pray. Dearly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we come to you just humbly. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have this great access of prayer tonight. And Lord, we come to you just asking that you would just be with the remainder of the services here tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd help me, Lord, to help your people. Lord, I pray that you'd allow me to speak clearly here tonight, that everyone could understand what thus saith the Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd give me the strength to do that which set before me, because Lord, I do admit what that is before me. I'm unable to do that in myself. But Lord, through you, I can do all things. So Lord, I'd ask that you'd touch the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every one. Lord, I'm sure there's different needs inside the walls of this congregation. And Lord, I pray that you'd minister to the hearts of your people. And Lord, we do ask if there's one here tonight that does not know you through the free pardon of sin. Oh, God, I'd pray for Holy Ghost conviction to fall down upon that heart. And on this Sunday night would be the glad night that individual, a boy or a girl, might be a mom or a dad, an aunt and an uncle. Lord, that this would be the glad night they'd be birthed into the family of God. For, Lord, we see things are happening at such an alarming rate. And, Lord, it just points us to your imminent return. And, Lord, I'd ask that you'd just be with everything that's done. Lord, we'll always stop and give you the thanks, the glory, the honor, and the praise for what you've done, what you're going to do, and what you have done. And, Lord, we'll praise you for that, for you alone are worthy. Lord, thank you again for all that you do, for we'd ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. John chapter number 6, verse number 1, of course, is the feeding of about the 5,000. And there was a great multitude followed him because of the miracles that Jesus did. And I still believe God is still doing miracles today in 2013. We're seeing them each and every day. And there was a multitude there. And every time you get a multitude around Jesus and he always will lift up his eyes, you'll always notice he had compassion on them. And God, he looked at that crowd and he sort of tested Philip because Philip, he knew what Philip would do. And he sort of just paraphrasing and says, "It's about time we feed this bunch." And Philip was always a counter. He was always the one that was adding up, and he's always the one trying to figure out if this is actually going to work or not. And he says, 200 pennyworths, just today's wages, is not enough, Lord, to feed all these people right here. And he sort of doubted God, and he says, there's no way that we can do this. Well, what we have? Well, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, I'd love to be like an Andrew, and we should all strive to be like an Andrew. I can see old Andrew walking out through that crowd of about 5,000 men. That ain't talking about the women and children. And some say that there's possibly about 15,000 there on that hillside. And old Andrew, he's looking and he's scouring that crowd. And he comes across a little lad that had a little lunch that fed a lot of people on a little piece of ground there by the Sea of Tiberias. And he brought that little lad to him and he said, told the Lord, he says, here's a little lad. And he's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Well, Jesus, he took them down and he says, well, you make them sit down. And he took them 5 barley loaves and he gave thanks and he broke them. And he put the broken pieces of bread into that basket. Now, I've often wondered, I'm sorry to the camera guy. I told him I was going to be good tonight, and I've done lied to him. I'm sorry. And I've often wondered who he gave that first basket to. And I just got a feeling he gave it to Philip. That's what I really think, because he's the one that was counting it up. And he says, there's just no way we can do this. So I believe he gave that first basket to Philip, and Philip took that basket. And I'm going to say that this is the bread, if that's okay. And old Philip, he looked at that little old basket, because I don't know how big it was, but I'd say it's probably something that you had to carry around. And he took that basket, and he looked at it, and he looked at the crowd, and he looked at that basket. And I really don't think that there was probably too many fragments in the bottom of that basket, because it's just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So he broke the bread, and he did the bread first. And Philip, he's looking at that. And of course, in his mind, he says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do that. And so he takes that bread in that basket, and he's looking at that basket, and he's looking at them people, and he's looking at that basket, and he says, you know, probably in the back of his mind, he's probably still counting up the cost of what it's going to take. And he says, well, he says, I don't know, this is the way I'd probably think. I mean, owe me a little faith. And he says, I'll go as far as I can. And so he comes to the first person, and I could see him sort of tentatively saying, sir, you want a piece? Would you please take a piece? This is where you fit in here. Take a piece. Okay, this is class participation here, all right? All right, make this work. You've got to do this, okay? So let's try this again, all right? Take a piece. And he went to the other one, and he said, sir, go ahead. Take a piece. Ma'am, just one. That don't get greedy on me. Just one. Did you not see we had 5 loaves? That's all we had. So, ma'am, just take one. Probably clicked on old Philip about the 3rd row back. He looked back and he says, you know, I just fed that first 3 rows and that basket's still there full of fragments. And he probably looked at that 4th row and he said, sir, can you wait a minute? I shafted the 1st row. I'll be right back. And he come back and he said, sir, I'm sorry. Get all you want. And every time he got a piece of that bread, another one would pop up. He'd get another piece and another one would pop up. And I want to preach on this thought, the benefits of bread. The benefits of bread. And the first thing I see here, and I'm going to not spend too much time on this because I want to get to the second point, but bread will feed the hungry. You take anybody that's hungry and you give them bread, it'll feed their needs. And bread will feed the hungry. And can you imagine old Philip going through, and by the time he got back to that last row, he says, hey, I'm telling you, get all you want, because every time it's that faith bread. I mean, he pulled in there, you had to reach in there by faith that it was there, and he'd reach in and that other one would just pop up, and that other one would just pop up, and he'd walk through. Anybody else want any bread? There's benefits in that bread. It'll feed the hungry. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter number 45, and I want to take a thought, and I'm going to tie it all together at the end on the benefits of bread. Genesis chapter number 43, of course, this is Joseph dealing with his brothers. And he sort of has hit himself up to a point, and he's getting ready to reveal himself to his brothers. And in Genesis chapter number 43, he's with them. Don't turn there, but Genesis 45, go there please, in verse number 9. And Joseph at the beginning, he is going to reveal himself to his brothers. And he's going to give who he is away. And he's going to tell them, hey, I am Joseph, house father. Go back and get the father, my father. In verse number 9, he says this. Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis chapter number 47, and I want to look at how Joseph nourished his family. Genesis 47, verse number 12 says this, and Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's house with bread according to their family. Bread will help the hurting. Y'all hear me? Bread will help the hurting. It's amazing to me how many people are hurting today. We get calls every day at WGCR. Pray for me. I mean, I dealt with a lady. I don't know where she goes, so I won't tell you the details. She may be here. I don't know. But she was at her wit's end. And I dealt with another individual was at their wit's end. And it's amazing this world. I don't know why it's got so many people keyed up that we're hurting and just seems like so many things are happening at such an alarming rate that people are just at their wit's end. No matter where you go, somebody's hurting. And there's probably somebody right here in this congregation that you're hurting. You probably come in with a smile on your face, says, isn't it good to be saved? Boy, it sure is good to be in the house of the Lord. And it is good to be in the house of the Lord. And there's no other place that I want to be than to be around the things of God and the house of the Lord. And Joseph, he come to his brothers and he says, go get the rest of my family, but tarry not. Can I tell you what you need to do if you're hurting today? The best thing you need to do is go straight to Jesus. Y'all all right out there? I'm gonna go over here, y'all more vocal. Best thing you need to do, God, because Joseph told his brother, and Joseph is a type of Christ, he says, tarry not. It's amazing to me when people are hurting, the last thing they run to is Jesus. We run to Oprah. God help you if you're running to Oprah for your help. Because that's nothing more than a cult. We're calling up Dr. Phil, and Dr. Phil will make you feel good for a little while. Y'all got a bunch of Oprah watchers here, evidently. Then we'll look at Dr. Oz. What's wrong with me? And Joseph says, tarry not. He says, come to me. And he says, I'll put you in the land of Goshen. And the word Goshen means to draw near. How come we're not drawing near to God when we're hurting? It's the last place we run. Well, God kicked my legs out from underneath me about 9 years ago. About 9 years ago, he kicked my legs out from underneath me. I'll never forget it. I was in Bible college on a Tuesday night. Boy, we were at our wit's end. There ain't no doubt about that. Me and Lisa were. Boy, things were happening. I mean, just one of those things that just come about, and I tried to fix the problem on my own. And the more I tried to fix the problem on my own, the worse it got. And the worse it got, the harder I tried, and the more I tried, the worse it got. And just on a Tuesday night, God kicked my legs out from underneath me. And I tell you, God moved into Bible college, and we started praying. We prayed for almost 4 hours that night. Boy, I just crawled underneath that table, prostrate, and it felt like God just sort of nuzzled up to me, put his arms around me, and he says this after I got flat on my back, couldn't go nowhere. God says, you know, son, it's going to be okay. But I had to get to God. And I'm going to recommend, don't wait till God knocks your legs out from underneath you to do it. He says, tarry not. And he says, come to the land of Goshen and draw near to me. And then he has this great statement in 47, and he nourished them with what? Bread. What bread's he talking about? Well, I know he's talking about physical bread, but let's look at today because there really is a, can I borrow this? There's a spiritual application here because I'm talking to you about this bread. How come, do y'all agree that this is the number one seller in the world? But would you also agree that I'm telling you the truth, it's the most unread book in the world? If there's so much benefit for you, ma'am or sir, that's hurting in here tonight, how come you don't read this? Y'all awful quiet tonight. It just gets better from here. Don't worry. This is the easy point. But nobody reads this anymore. And I have figured out, Pastor Roy, we got an epidemic in our Baptist churches that nobody's reading it. And I'm going to, you got room to prove that? Sure do. I'll be glad to tell you. Preaching in a revival just a few weeks ago. And I preached this very message at that church. And the pastor come up to me and says, I read my Bible, but I read it for messages. Y'all listen to what he just said? I read my Bible, but all I read it for is to get messages. And I said, sir, I said, you're doing your church a disservice. I says, if you're not in there reading it, I promise you your church is not in there reading. Well, I guess we probably just need to do an altar call right now because it's real quiet in here today. I need to go preach Jeremiah 33:3. We had a better time last time. But when's the last time when you were hurting, the first thing you picked up was God's word? Y'all okay? Do we agree that the Bible has all the answers to this world's problems? Do we? I do. I mean, it fixed the White House real quick. It fixed every problem Obama's ever got. That boy just gets saved. Our financial problems, hey, it's got a great financial way of how to live if you just follow it. But yet nobody's wanting to read it when we're hurting. Want to turn to Facebook. Oh, I better quit on that one. That one right there, that stumped up right there. I don't have nothing against Facebook. I don't have one. But it's amazing to me how many people will go put their problems on Facebook. When the Bible tells us to make your request known unto God in the book of Philippians. Man, I thought this was going to be easier today. I really did. And it's amazing that nobody's soaking in what thus saith the Lord. Thought I was doing pretty good by my wife until I got in there where it says, husbands, love your wives. Boy, I fail on that one. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll never be able to live up to that standard, but I'll die trying. Right? Raise your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Tells you how to be a parent. Love one another as Christ. It's all right there. And Joseph, the type of Christ, told his brothers, tarry not. Come to me, and I will nourish thee with bread. There's benefits in the bread for the hurting. If we would just get in there and get it. Genesis chapter number 50. Their fathers died. I'm going to move on. And their brother said this, well, peradventure, since dad's died, peradventure, Joseph would hate us. That was really a slap in the face. Because as well as Joseph treated them, poured his grace upon them, fed them, nourished them, took care of them and all their children, and their dad died, and they says, you know, well, Joseph just might hate us now. Isn't that the way the devil does? He'll start bringing up past sins in your life. Has that ever happened to y'all? I mean, it does. It's happened to me. Anybody else? I mean, I have to be honest with you, man. I'm telling you, devil just brings something up that happened, you know, 15 years ago, and it's underneath the blood, and he'll bring it back, and boy, you'll start meditating and just a little bit running that thought in your mind, and boy, you really start getting down. Well, God don't love me. Boy, I'm telling you, look what I did 15 years ago. But I like what Joseph did in Genesis 50. Take your Bibles, turn there. Take your Bibles and turn there. Genesis chapter number 50. Verse number 17. Of course, they sent a messenger unto Joseph, and they said, so say that ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespasses of the brethren, of thy brethren, and thy sins, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespasses of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. But his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they says, behold, we be thy servants. Boy, they just lowered their standards from brothers to servants. Y'all ready? Here we go, verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you. Now wait, it goes on. It gets better. And it says, and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. This right here. This is what nourished me right here. Well, when I'm hurting, and I'll be right honest with you, I can hide it real good. I can. I mean, I'm real good at that. Good, I play the hypocrite real good. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. And inside, I may be hurting. But boy, when you get feasting on this right here, and let the love of God and the grace of God start to overshadow you. Boy, when you start reading about the love of God, he says, fear not. Fear not. Oh, I'm telling you, it can take a bad day and turn it into good when he says, just fear not. There's benefits in bread to help the hurting. Psalms 104. There's benefits in bread to keep you healthy. To keep you healthy. Psalms 104, verse number 15. Psalms 104, verse number 15. I love this chapter. I like to read it because it talks about what God's doing, his power. Starts out in verse number 1. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great. Good way to start it right there. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. And these are one of the psalms the high priest would sing at least once a week. And it comes down and it talks about everything that God is, what he is doing and how he's doing it and how he's making herbs for the animals to eat in the valleys. But come down to verse number 12. And it says, by them shall the fowls of heavens have their habitations. And of course, it's talking about the trees and different things, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from the chambers. And boy, he's doing that today, isn't he? The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the herbs for the service of men, that they may bring forth food out of the earth. Verse number 15, I like this. And it says, and wine that maketh glad the heart of men, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth a man's heart. It'll keep you strong. It'll give you vigor. We've got a lot of weak Christians today. I didn't come here to be mean, but I'm just going to be straight up honest. I'm sharing you my heart today. We've got a lot of weak Christians today. Ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? Now, come on now, it's class participation. Jehovah Witness. He says, you know, all y'all's favorite people that come to the door, y'all had them? Most people run them off. I don't. Listen to me. Had one come to my house. I've been in my house almost 19 years. And they've been to my house, and I had a Norwegian Alkhound. He was a good dog, because every time they'd come, they crinkled up their paper and threw it on the hood of my truck. I mean, he was good, all right? But I always wanted to talk to him. Y'all listen to me. So last year, mowing grass, I was listening to Preacher Andy Wells, and I was already loaded by the time they got there. And so they come up, drove up in their car, and they're all smiling. And I waved back at them. I was like, thank you, Jesus. So he come, and boy, he's all smiled, and I was just mowing my grass, so I popped out my headsets, turned my Andy Wells message off because it was real good about Gideon. And I said, can I help you? He says, well, we're passing out pamphlets. I says, really, about what? I knew who they were. I mean, I played dumb. Really, about what? And he gave it to me. And it had six questions on it. And the third one down, I'll never forget it. It says, ask, you know, do you know, or something about how do you get to heaven? He's handy, he's smiling. And he says, is there anything on there you want me to answer? I said, sure do. He said, what's that? I says, how do you get to heaven? I was thinking about that today. I set him up. And he says, well, I'm glad you asked. So he went on and he says, well, what you do is you do like we do. And I said, well, what are you doing? He says, well, you go around and you knock on doors and you hand out pamphlets. And I says, really, that's all I got to do to get into heaven is pass out your pamphlets? He says, well, yeah, he says, that's what we do and all that. And I says, well, I said, sir, I says, can we go in the Word of God today? And he got a big Adam's apple. You know that big Adam's apple right there? So it expanded. And it looked like he swallowed a frog. And I said, sir, I said, let's go to the thief on the cross. He said, what about him? I says, I never see where he passed out one pamphlet at all. But yet, the Bible says, thou shalt be with me today in paradise. He says, yeah, yeah. And I says, the Bible also says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I says, nothing about passing out your pamphlets. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, sir, your works is not getting you into heaven. And I started to give him my testimony, and he says, I got to go. I says, I'm not done with you yet. It's on my property. He says, I really got to go. And I said, sir, I'm not done. I'm getting to the good part. I was giving him my testimony when Jesus saved me here at the old building at Fletcher First Baptist Church, and I was really getting to the point where I was just about to kneel at the altar, and he says, I got to go. I says, I'm not done. I'm not done. Let me tell you about Jesus. Well, if you do that, to the younger ones, they usually send the older one. I got the older one 2 weeks ago on a Sunday after church. So I was real good then. He knocked on my door. And I opened it up. I didn't let him in. You ain't supposed to bring him in. And so I opened the door and I said, can I help you, sir? He says, we're passing out pamphlets. I said, about what? He said, about Jesus. I said, what about him? He says, well, he says he died on the cross. I said, what else did he do? He says, well, he was buried. I says, is he God? He says, well, some believe that he's God. I says, well, I said, do we take the Bible literally Or do I believe you? He says, oh, we're literal people. We take the Bible literally. I says, all right. I says in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word, or the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, some believe that. I says, some. I says, I believe that. I said, that's what the Bible said. And I said, sir, you just said we take that Bible literally. And I says, and you jump down to verse number 14. It talks about how this Word became and took on flesh and dwelt among us. Well, you know, and I says, well, no, I don't know. I says, you just said you took the Bible literally. And I says, this is what the Bible says literally. And I said, sir, who do I believe? Do I believe you or this Bible? I'm believing the Bible. But the reason we don't talk to the Jehovah Witnesses is because we never stay in that Word, stay healthy. I had a Seventh-day Adventist in Glen Allen, Alaska, took me for a run for my money. I mean, she really, Brother Creasman, was getting the best of me. I'll be right honest with you. Me and Mr. Severs talked to that lady, and she was ringing my bell. I didn't let her know that until she got to the point when she says, and you know about David in the Bible? I said, oh, yeah. I said, a man after God's own heart. He's not in heaven. I said, woo, right there. I says, where did you get that, ma'am? She says, I got insight. I said, tell me how to get that insight. She says, well, and then she said this, it's your fault these churches are not full. I said, my fault? I says, ma'am, I don't live here. How can it be my fault? She says, you don't pray enough. I said, ma'am, I pray every day. And I says, ma'am, and I had her then because she done messed up. And I took her to the gospel, and I laid out the plan of salvation to her. I mean, the Holy Ghost was just bringing them like this to my mind. I'm telling you, I think God let her get the best of me to show me that I need to get more in that book, get my sword sharper than it ever has been, and I give her that plan of salvation, and she didn't want no part of that. We run them off our door because we can't stand against them. We're weak. We're weak. And you can give me all the excuses of why we're weak. I'm just telling you, we're weak in that Bible. But if we get in that Bible, I promise you, it'll keep you healthy. I start my day every day in the Word of God, and I'm not bragging about every day. And my prayer is to get through the first reading by June so I can start her again. I want to be healthy, because I'm going to tell you, folks, in these last days, the cream's going to rise to the top. And I'm nobody, but I don't want to be on that bottom. I want to know more about Him than I ever have. And the only way I know to do it is to read His Word and be healthy. So number three, bread will keep you healthy. Number four, bread will help the homeless. Luke 15. It's the prodigal son. He come to his father and he says, Dad, give me what's coming to me. And pretty much what he told his dad, he says, Dad, I really don't want you, but I want everything that you've got. That's the way we treat Jesus today. Jesus, I really don't want you, but I want everything that you got. Bless me, bless me, bless me. That's the way we are. And so he spent all that he had. He had no friends. And I'm doing this because I got to speed up. He had no friends. He had no money. And he ended up in the pig slop eating the pig's food. Y'all hearing me? Had no home. But all of a sudden, he's sitting down there. And I've always caught it interesting in this story when he come to his senses. He says, the servants in my father's house have enough what? Bread to eat. I always caught it quite interesting, Pastor Roy, that it never said in there, I wonder how my dad's doing. I wonder how my older brother's doing. I've always caught that intriguing. Because don't you, when you go away somewhere, you always wonder how mom's doing? You're always wondering how dad's doing? But he don't say that. And he says, "And the servants in my father's house have plenty of bread to eat." There may be a prodigal in here this tonight, or you're getting real close to being a prodigal. Can I warn you, don't do it. You'll have more misery and you know what to do with. And he come back to his father's house. And his dad says, "Bring out the fatted calf." He was preparing for him, because he said the fatted calf, not one of them. He had one picked. He said, "Bring out the best robe, put a ring, shoes. My son's come home." And he had a feast. Can I tell you, I don't think he reached for the tenderloin off that fatted calf. But I could just imagine, says, "Could you just pass the bread? Just pass the bread." Before Lisa and I got married, we were freshly married. We weren't in church at the time. I was lost at the time. We went to a church in Asheville. We sat up on the balcony, and we were just sitting there waiting for the service to start, and I never got over this, never. And I pray that the Lord will never let me get over it. And I was sitting there in that pew, and I heard it. It was like, and it rippled behind me. Well, I didn't have to turn around, because you could smell the man. He was one of the homeless on the street that come in on a Sunday morning for a church service. And there was people getting up and moving because this homeless guy come in and he stunk. Did I move? No, I didn't. But I was lost and I knew that was wrong, what they were doing. It often rolled through my mind, I wonder whose dad, whose son that was that walked in that church that day. And every one of them were shirts pulled out just right, cuffs done right. And I wondered how many of them hushed that boy away when there was bread at that house for him to feast on. And people showed him ungodly love. Fletcher, what would you do? Now, we're spiritual now. Oh, I'd sit beside him. You listen to me. I hope so. But I wonder how many prodigals are sitting in here. And I've talked to a bunch of them. And you know what they all tell me? It's amazing what they tell me. And you'll talk to them about their spiritual condition, and they'll come out just, and it's like without instinct, they'll say, "I was raised better. I couldn't get away from that training." And I was at a restaurant in Brevard last winter, and I saw a boy that I knew had him in Bible college, sat under my teaching. He's by himself. And I went up to him, and I mentioned his name. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm having lunch." I said, "Well, I see that." I says, "But what are you doing?" Big old tears started to roll down his cheeks. He said, "I'm not in church no more." And I said, "Well, what did God do to you?" He said, "Nothing." I said, "Were you hurt?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did God hurt you, son?" He said, "No." I said, "You find you a good church and get in it." And I says, "You're going to get hurt in your Christian walk, son." I says, "I know. I've been devastated many times. But I didn't quit on God, because God didn't do it." I said, "People done it, and people will disappoint you and discourage you to no end." 2 weeks went by. The boy come to my office there at Anchor. Went to the thing. He said, "Can I see Brother Jones?" They buzzed him in. He walked down there to my office. And I looked at him, and I didn't have to say a word. I said, "You're back in church, aren't you?" He said, "How can you tell?" I said, "Your countenance is different. I said, you're glowing today. I said, you're smiling today. I said, there's something different about you today. I said, you've been in the house of God. You've gotten you some help out of the Word of God. I said, you're back into where you need to be, son. And I said, it'll always help you." That bread helped that little homeless boy. He didn't fit in anywhere. saved by the grace of God, tried to fit in the world, didn't fit in the world, and he was homeless. It's about time we quit looking down our noses when they leave. Boy, it should break our heart. I've got a burden this year like I never have. I preached a message just about a month ago on preparing for the prodigal. And the pastor come up to me in that church and said, "Son, what do you know? What do you know?" I said, "Sir, I don't know a thing except I got on my face, was praying, asking God what to do here today. And this is exactly where he wanted me to do." 3 weeks later, they had a prodigal lady that really messed up in that church come back in the church and apologize to that church right there. Preparing for the prodigal. It'll help the homeless. And I'm telling you, I'm tired of the devil getting them. You listen to me. I'm tired of the devil getting them. We're throwing them to the dogs and says, "Well, they deserve everything they got." Can I tell you, if I got everything I deserved, I'd be in hell tonight. You'd be in hell tonight. Every one of us would be in hell if we got what we deserved. It'll help the homeless. Number four, what point I'm on? I don't even know what point I'm on now. It'll help the destitute. Luke 24. Two on the Emmaus Road. Jesus has been crucified. Boy, they're walking. I could about visualize it, head hung low, talking back and forth about the things that went on. And Jesus showed up. Boy, he started saying, "What's wrong? What happened? Oh, you must be a stranger. You must not be from around here. Have you not heard what took place?" So he walked with them a little further. And the Bible says there in Luke 24, they constrained Jesus to come in. And it says, and he tarried with them. And he took bread and he blessed it. And he blessed it. And it says, and he handed it to them. And the minute he handed that bread to them, their eyes were opened. It's that bread. There's so many people without friends today. They're lonely. They're with nobody around them. They don't think anybody loves them anymore. They don't think anybody cares about them anymore. They don't think anybody wants to do anything with them anymore. They are just out there, seems like on that Emmaus Road, with their head hung down low, and Jesus shows up, breaks bread, and I'm telling you, and God opens up their eyes. I'll tell you, the bread, that word right there, will help the destitute. Sticketh closer than a brother. And then lastly, Psalms 105, verse 40. You got that verse? Psalms 105, verse 40. Bread is heavenly. This is talking about the tribe of Israel. I don't have time to go back and put it in its context, but it's about the people, the tribe of Israel, God giving them everything they need. And it says, the people asked and he brought quail and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. That bread, it's heavenly. It's heavenly. Can I have your Bible, sir? I should go get mine, but I'm lazy. How many believe this is God's word? Holy Ghost inspired, God breathed. God held the hand that held the pen and put his word down so that you and I preserved. I mean, this word is preserved in heaven. And it's heavenly. And boy, sometimes I'll just take my Bible and hug it. You don't mind if I kiss your Bible, do you? You kissed it? You should. Sometimes I'll just kiss it. Say, "Jesus, I love you. And I appreciate you sending your word down here so I can know a little bit more about you." This heavenly bread. We're a blessed nation. Do you hear me? There's people died on the battlefield. There's people was burned at the stakes. There's people was drowned, was martyred underground, printing presses in Russia to print the word of God, just one page. By the way, there's not a famine of water and bread in this land, but a famine hearing the Word of God. Now, can I tie it all together? Bread will help the hurting. Bread will keep you healthy. Bread will help the homeless. Bread will help the destitute. And bread come from heaven. November 1998. Well, I met a blonde-headed girl beforehand that stole my heart. And I went to a Baptist church, and some of y'all don't know me, but I was raised Catholic. Okay? I mean, I was the altar boy. I was everything. I mean, I watched them get the wafers and make the so-called, well, it was wine, is what it was, diluted in water. No, they don't give you the right to go drink alcohol. Amen. And I met a blonde-headed girl I've been married to for 19 years. Boy, I love her today, more today than I did the day I said I do. We went to Hooper's Creek. We bounced around and went to Naples. I wasn't raised in a Baptist church. And boy, my first experience in a Baptist church, I've never gotten over. There was a lady had a shouting spell. Son, scared me. Man, I'm telling you, I swallowed my toes that day. You hear me? I mean, I thought snakes were coming. I did. I mean, that's all these shouting people, they're weird, you know. That's all I heard. Oh, Miss Peggy Anderson. Thank God for the shout, Miss Peggy. God used it that day. I didn't get saved that day. But I never got away from that prayer. Preacher, we need to pray for the lost. We need to pray for the lost. And I can just see the tears rolling down your cheeks. I never got away from that. And I can visualize that today just like the day it happened. Boy, they sang some more about heaven. And old George Fowler was sitting up here on the right side. I didn't know who that was at the time. All I knew, he was a gray-headed man, red-faced. And did this, whew, whew. That's all he did. Y'all know George Fowler. You know that's exactly what he done. So Lisa and I bounced around, and I just went to church for her. Y'all hear me? That's all I did. Because I was raised Catholic. But we stepped in Fletcher First Baptist Church in the old building. And I remember Pastor Roy. He always would hug me, just like he done today. He said, I love you, son. Well, you're talking about a man that don't like to be hugged by no man. At that time, I'll hug men all day. I'm not funny. But I love hugging the brother and say, I love you, brother. And shaking the hand of women. I mean, that's just the way I am. Some other way, I'll hug, you know. But he always loved me. Word of God was preached. Boy, there was somebody who was hurting. That was me. There was somebody in that congregation who was unhealthy spiritually. That was me. There was a boy in there that was homeless on my way to hell. That was me. Boy, there was a boy in there who was destitute. I didn't have no friends in the family of God. I was just an outsider looking in. But the man of God thundered that gospel that day. Boy, I got up, come down to the left side of that altar, and all I said was this, Jesus, would you forgive a sinner? That's all I said. Oh, could I tell you, there was somebody that was hurting that morning and got up, and I wasn't hurting anymore. Boy, there was somebody that was unhealthy, and I got up, and by his stripes we are healed. I wasn't unhealthy no more. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I was somebody that didn't have a home, and I was on heaven bound with a hammer down, sitting in heavenly places on that great day. I'm telling you, hey, I was destitute, but I've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, I'm going to tell you, I was feasting on the heavenly bread that day. I'm still feasting on that heavenly bread today, and it's still helping me in 2013, and it'll help you today. Fletcher, when I ask you, do we love it like we say we do? Oh, I love it. I love this King James Bible. I love it. I kiss her every now and then. Say, Jesus, I love you. Man, God will come up here and open up the Word of God and thunder it out. Sad to say, that's about all most Christians get is what's said on Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and maybe on Wednesday night if they show up. And these 66 books contains everything we need to know about Jesus. And if it's everything that we need to know about Jesus, how come we're not searching out the Scriptures to see what it says? And I'm not going to ask for no hand raising. And I hope that I'm wrong. But D.L. Moody says the next great revival we'll have is a revival in this Bible. Right here. But it's sad that nobody's ever read it from cover to cover. Probably sitting in this church. And I'm not being mean, Pastor Roy. But if that preacher ain't reading it from cover to cover, and we've got an epidemic. I'm going to give you one story and I'm done. There was a dad sent a son off to college. And he gift wrapped him up a Bible. Put it in a beautiful package. Wrapped it up and put a bow on it. And when his boy left, he slipped it in with him. And sent it with his boy when he went to college. A few months into college, the boy called home, says, Dad, I'm in trouble. I need some help. And the dad told the son, said, Son, everything that you need's in that Bible. And he slung the phone down on his dad, mad, spitting, sputtering, saying some few choice things about his dad that his dad don't care about him, sent him to college just to get him out of the house. About a week went by. And the son was really in desperate need. He was needing money. Called home and says, Dad, I need help. I need some money. And he said, Son, everything you need's in that Bible. Whew. Slammed the phone down. Said, My dad don't love me, don't care nothing about me. Why do I even care to call? Another week went by. Boy's really in desperate need. And he says, Dad, you got to help me. I'm in desperate need. And he says, I need your help. He said, if I needed anything to call you. That's right, son. I need your help. I need some money. He said, Son, everything you need's in that Bible. Shoo, slammed the phone down. Sat there in his room, got that package out, threw it on his desk. Looked at it, reached, took the bow off. Getting mad. Boy walked around, pondered at it, looked at that package. Went over there and took the wrapper off of it. When he took the wrapper off of it, he was just as mad as was when he took that bow off. 30 minutes later, come by, he went back, took the cover off. And there that Bible sit. Got mad, walked around the room some more. And he went and picked up that Bible. And he opened it, and his dad slipped $100 bills in between the pages of that Bible. Can I tell you, everything that son needed was in that Bible. He was the richest kid in the college, and his father gave him everything that he needed. Can I tell you, I'm one of the richest people in this world. God give me riches untold. God says he's got me promises in there that I'm still feasting on today. He says, I will supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. Can I tell you, every need that I've ever had, God has supplied. And most of my wants, God has supplied. I'm telling you, Jesus says, I love you. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm telling you, there's things in this Bible, and everything that I need is right here in this King James Bible. Fletcher First Baptist Church, what do you need today? You're trying to fix it on your own. You're trying to fix the situation. You're trying to correct the problem. And God says, I've got the answer right here. Most people got it on their bookshelf at home for nothing more than a good luck charm. It's not a good luck charm. It's God's Word. What do you need today? Church, that is sitting right here. And you are failing to read it and having a daily Bible reading right here. And I hope that I'm wrong, but I got a feeling I'm not. That we're only going to get out of our services about what we put in this book. And I can tell the churches I preach at, you listen at me, I can tell the churches I preach at that get in their book and study because the preaching comes easy. Amen. Am I right, Pastor Roy? You can tell it. I know you can. That when your congregation is in where you're at, it's easy preaching. But when they're not where you're at, it's like pulling uphill a 10,000-pound brick because they're not with you. I'm going to tell you, it would change the services in here. And I'm not saying y'all are having bad service. I mean, your pastor preached the lights out this morning. Okay? And I'm not pointing my finger at your pastor by no means, because I love Pastor Roy. He's dear to me. He instilled in my heart when I was a young preacher to get in that book and read. He did it silently, and most of the church probably never recognized what he was doing. But he'd get up there and he'd put that mic on. And he'd start up there and says, well, take your Bibles, open up to the book of James. He'd read his scripture and he says, well, this is what I was going to preach tonight, but Brother Jones, God told me for you to come preach tonight. Boy, that used to drive me up the wall. I love you, brother, but it's one of the best things you ever done for me in my young ministry, because what it done is it put a hunger in me keeping that book, because if he did call on me, I didn't want to be ashamed that I didn't have anything to give to the people when he entrusted me with his pulpit. I wanted to make sure I had something out of God's word, something that the people needed right then and there. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. And you instilled something in my heart in a young walk, in my Christian walk, that's still going on today. Taught me to stay in that book. You young preachers in here, when he gets up there and does that and calls your name out and you spit and sputter around, you better have something to tell them people. You get in that book. Because if I'm going to stand before Jesus, and I am, I don't want to be ashamed when I stand before him. Says, Lord, I wish I'd have read your book more so I can know who you really are. I'm going to be at the back row. It's where I'm going to be. Well, I'm in heaven. Oh, look, I'll be around the throne of God, but I'm going to be in the very, very back. Some widow lady that's prayed her whole life and give her life to the Word of God, that's who's going to be in the front. But I'm going to be amongst that number. And I'm hoping and praying that I don't have to hang my head low because I didn't read his book. I'm trying to unhook. And I think I'm at that stopping point. But I wonder how many in here would be honest with God. Says, preacher, it's me that's hurting. It's me that's unhealthy. It's me that's possibly homeless in here, saved by the grace of God, but living in the world. It may be somebody says, it's me, preacher, that's without a friend today. Boy, I feel so lonely. Well, why don't you come feast on the heavenly bread? Why don't you come up here to the altar and ask God to put that desire back for his word that you once had? January 1st rolled around. I'm going to read my Bible this year. Preacher, I'm going to read my Bible. New Year's resolution, I'm going to read my Bible. You'll do good till about the end of January, and then you'll miss a day, and then you'll read the next day trying to get caught up, and then you'll get behind some more, and then you just say, forget it. There's probably somebody in here that's done that. Why don't you just come ask God to put that drive back in His Word? There's benefits in this bread. Let us stand. Pastor Roy, you come on. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. Can I have a little liberty, Pastor? Nobody looking around. Just me and Pastor Roy. And this ain't to your embarrassment. But how many in here, just be honest between you and God, says, preacher, I'm not reading my Bible like I should. Would anybody be honest with God? Look at that. Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. And I'm not one of these that say you need to read it 3 chapters a day. No, you need to figure out what your daily Bible reading is and stick to it. Now, how many in here would say, preacher, I'm hurting. I'm the one that's been trying to run to this and that and the other, and I've neglected to run straight to God's Word. Would anybody in here be honest and raise your hand and says, preacher, that's me in here today. Hands up. Look at that. Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Hands everywhere. Who would be honest? And I'm going to just between Pastor Roy's look, I'm looking. And I'm not doing this for your embarrassment. But how many would admit in here, my spirituality is very weak and unhealthy. Look at that. Hands everywhere. Hands are going up everywhere. Maybe there's somebody here that you're living between two worlds. Come in here acting like a Christian. Go out Monday to work and act like the world. Would anybody be honest and just say, preacher, that's me. I'm living that kind of lifestyle and I know it's wrong. Anybody? Okay. And then finally, who feels lonely? Anybody be honest with God and says, preacher, I've been lonely. Anybody raise your hand and just admit that. Says, I don't feel like I've got a friend in the world. I don't have a friend. All right, one more question and I'm done. Is there anybody in here says, preacher, I'm the one just like you. I was hurting, unhealthy, homeless, destitute. But I need to be saved. Is there anybody in here, just be honest, says, I need to be saved by the grace of God? Anybody put your hand up and says, pray for me, preacher, I'm lost. Anybody? Anybody? Boy, I see a lot of tears going on out there. Now, if you were one of those, and I'm not big on saying, oh, I had a crowd come to the altar. I preach more for a response than I do for reaction. But would anybody come down to this altar and says, Lord, put that drive back into me for your word? Would anybody come? Well, people's coming. No instrumental, just between you and God. Says, Lord, I just want to get more in that word. More into it. God, put that desire in my heart to read thy word more than I ever have. There's probably some couples that's never had devotions in here with their husbands and wives. And it's about a good time to start tomorrow morning. All yours, brother.
Thank you, Brother Robert. We're all praying. Lord Jesus, you know what we needed. You said, Brother Robert, with this portion of your word, and we thank you for the blessings on your word and that on him, through him. And God, we're a needy people. Thank you that so many have been willing to admit we're not what we ought to be, definitely not what we can be or not what we will be, because we're going to be more determined than ever to serve you in this year through your word. Thank you for our copy of it, Father. Most of us probably have many copies, but what good are they on the shelf? I pray, Father, that you encourage hearts in that. And we know when we read that word, we will be encouraged. And Father, we thank you for all you've done through Brother Robert through the song service. Help everyone that's been willing to bow tonight and confess. Help us, God, to serve you in these last days. You said perilous times will come, and they are. And they'll get worse because the wicked will do wickedly even more. Hasten the day when you come to get us, Lord, and until you do, keep us in fellowship with you, enjoying the journey, basking in the love of God, standing boldly and being willing to proclaim that word without compromise, without fear. And Father, I pray for all those people hurting everywhere, not just here tonight, but God, America's hurting, churches are hurting, discouraged, family members. And Father, all the answers for all man's problems are in the blessed old book, your word. And thank you, Father, that we can come to it. Help us when we read it, understand it, make application. And Lord, I know you will. Just help us stay in that word. And thank you tonight for everything that's been said and everything that's been done. For your glory, for your praise, for your honor, in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.